Did you say? Hey, I think it was John Cena's birthday party, though. It was really? Vince out with another chick.
Oh, that's how Vince gave it up?
Man, Vince was out here looking like the old dude in the club for real, man.
With the, what up, G?
He ain't even look what up, G. He look old and decrepit, man.
Jeez, like.
He look old and decrepit and look like he just got some ass in the limo.
Dang it. That's like, you know, remember like when Larry Flint just looked like he was kind of out of it? Like,
no, you know, Larry
like, kind of like Stu Hardish, but like yeah. In a wheelchair though. So he's even like more just like done.
Yeah. It
was... No disrespect to Stu Hart, rest in peace to the legend, but you know, y'all know that look he had on his face in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, listen. My bad. Yo. What up? What's good? What's cracking? What it is, how you living, what's happening, man. Hey, it is a Tuesday evening, and we apologize, but life, you know what I'm saying, be happening. Home improvements be happening. You know what I'm saying? I'm right across from Tim the Tool Man Taylor here, or Al Borland Mix.
Man.
You know what I mean?
That shit pissed me off so bad yesterday, fam. Imagine, man, you know what? Imagine walking into your son's room and just looking on the ground. And that shit look like a coloring book.
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
And then I got the, you know, I got the upholstery / carpet cleaner. But, you know, it's the one with the hand. So you in the motherfucker.
Yeah. You're in the, like, Grandmaster Flash, but it ain't, like, really doing it. It ain't doing the trick, though.
I was so pissed last night, fam.
Oh, man.
Like, we was talking about Raw last night, and I was just sitting there like, God damn, I ain't get to see all of this shit like I want to. But that was mainly because Word Party's on in the background, and I'm sitting up there.
Oh, man. Well, hey, hopefully this conversation about wrestling will lift your spirits because, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to talk about wrestling. Like no one else in the world, all right? And that does mean that it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I am still your podcast intercontinental champion, Camp from the Port.
And I'm JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get that merch, man. First Black Champ, FBC.POD. FBC underscore POD. That's how you follow us on IG and Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We normally, you know, record on a Sunday, but I got to rock my Bears joint today.
Yeah, my voices,
and I'm getting my voice back and everything because bet down, ho. You know what I'm saying? We was out here in the torrential rain storm.
Oh, damn. It rained in the game.
Rain ain't the word, fam. Rain at the word. So you're not on social like that.
Yeah, nah.
So I'll send you the picture and the video of the rain.
Okay.
We ain't had no business being in that. But we were. The experience was dope.
Nice.
Bears defeated the 49ers 19-10. Okay. They everybody picked against us. We got it. It was on point. It was not a good FanDuel day, though.
No. Oh, damn.
Like, we lost all of the free money. Like, the FanDuel was giving us free money. Lost all them joints, man. Like, lost all them. It was bad out there in those fans. FanDuel'd me all weekend long. But, damn. You know, but. Like I said, it was a dope experience. Me, Otis, nice. Chris, my homie BG, we all went out there. It was raining.
Nice.
And then it started, you know, raining a little bit harder. Channel 5 came out there. I pointed my red cup at them. Apparently, it went to Channel 5 News. Like, hey. It was on news and that thing. We get there. It's not raining heavily. But by the third quarter, it was either third or the fourth quarter. I think it was the fourth quarter as the Bears started to come back. Jay Iller, who's the DJ for the Bears,
okay,
plays Jeezy Put On.
Oh, word.
And it just started Ponchos wasn't working no more, G.
Yeah.
Like, you had a poncho on?
Yeah.
Fuck it. You had a raincoat or something?
Mm-hmm.
You looking like the Gordon's fisherman? All right. But poncho? Nah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the ponchos, they only good for like light rain to sprinkles for about 2 hours. Then it start feeling like the little plastic bag that you put the Kool-Aid, the chips in when you was out at the playground.
Right, it was.
You just done. It's now taking form and shape to you.
Yeah, I'm fat too.
And you just done. You just done out here.
Thick ass long sleeve Walter Payton jersey. But they end up winning 19-10. Like I said, at the end of the game, Justin Fields and the team slid into home. That's how much water it was.
Wow.
It was like deep river water park. Slip, sippy, splash, tap, stick. That's how what it was, G. And then we tailgated before. We tailgated afterwards. I think I drank the whole bottle of Don Julio Nejo. It was a whole fifth. I was in red form. It was lit. It was lit, man. So shouts out to the Bears. So that's why I'm a little bit hoarse. That's why we didn't record on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday, I got kids, and they wanted to, have a coloring book on the floor. But we're here on Tuesday. Wow. We're basically, going on a while. NXT 2.0 is on.
Yep.
Pretty Deadly just retained as NXT Tag Team Champions. They defeated the Creed Brothers, Damon Kemp, which was interesting. I did not see Damon Kemp being somebody that was going to turn on somebody, but we're going to get to talking about his brother a little bit later on the show, because there's been some interesting stuff that's been said about his brother, Gabe Steveson, who, appeared at WrestleMania. He had his little WrestleMania moment and everything. Yeah. And we ain't heard nothing since.
True.
Uncle Dave Meltzer has a lot to say about, that in particular. So we're going to get to talking about that. With that being said, though, let's go ahead and get to something that you predicted.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be knowing. The podcast Intercontinental Champion told y'all that basically this was going to be a Dom sub relationship between Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio. And what do you know?
Hey, the Nani's so good, he started fighting his pops. That's what I told y'all.
Because that's pretty much what's going on. The Raw after. Clash at the Castle.
Yeah.
We had the man, Dom, why are you doing this? Boom, boom, boom. He not saying nothing. Go ahead.
Which is a pretty big spot for them, considering that whole show, for them to kick off Raw. But I still credit Rhea Ripley for all of that, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's making this whole thing go Rhea and Edge. Like, it almost is the best thing that happened to everybody else in this joint, because if you do put Rhea and Edge on the same side, I think they kind of bury the Mysterios by themselves. So at least having them on both ends of this, it's making it more interesting, man. Rhea, man, MVP of all of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now, they beat up on his daddy. He helped a little bit. They beat up on Edge. Would lead to Edge versus Dominic Mysterio this week. A different look with the purple, Judgment Day purple and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea is talking in Dom's ear, and then Dom is talking. But they beat the shit out of Edge, G.
Yeah, man.
They did there's some spots I'm just not trying to do. And a double stop off the top rope onto my leg is not one of them.
Yeah, man.
The way that Edge's knee bent really looked bad.
Yeah, man.
So they did good with that. So I don't know when we're going to see Edge again. Based on, you can't do that and then be back in 2 weeks. Like, yeah. Nah, not that.
Right. Like, nah. You're about to come back right before Saudi Mania 9.
Yeah, bro. Hell no. Nah, like, because I looked at that joint and was like, ooh, they could have fucked his leg up if they messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Dominic Mysterio, I'm just going to start calling him Dom now.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this brand new Dom and how it looks that Rhea is the puppet master, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, I think we can all agree that this is definitely what he needed, just specifically because playing, you know, we haven't seen too many father and son duos in wrestling at the age range and, I guess, ability that we've seen Rey and Dom, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Because, like, even young Dusty Rhodes was already like, maybe I'm done.
Right. That's what I was thinking of. There's never been an our time.
Yeah.
That.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's an our time that. Like, even Ted and Teddy Jr., Cody and, you know what I'm saying, obviously Cody and Dusty even further apart. Cowboy Bob and Randy. Like, we really haven't seen where the father is on the main roster, still getting busy, still able to give you a good to great 20, 25 minutes.
Right.
And his son being in the mix as well.
Because Dusty wasn't going to get you nothing but a high five.
Exactly. Exactly.
A hot tag and an elbow.
Right. That's it. Let me get my shit off. Boom. All right. I'm out.
Tag me out. Tag me out.
So for Dom, I think it does help. It's going to help his character. It's going to help his development. This is by no means an admission of saying that, like, oh, I'm loving the Mysterios now. I'm not. And no disrespect to Rey Mysterio. But I think this is something better for him to do than to just, like, coaching the son. Like, I don't want to see Rey doing that either. You know what I mean?
They're about to make you laugh real quick.
Right.
It just popped up on my screen.
Okay. And then, yeah. We were trying to reach you. I want to catch the warranty. That's hilarious.
That's basically what it seems like right now.
You know what I'm saying? And a shout out to whoever was on Twitter, because I am officially back on Twitter as of like yesterday evening. That was like, hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper in your ear.
Right.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. Hey, B-Dot, what up? And you know, with the slick down mullet, you know what I mean, and the slight scowl, if you will. Obviously, Dom still needs some work and development, so I'm not going to kill him right now. However, I do like where they have them going because, like, he fake tough right now. Like, he's not a bitch. He's just fake tough.
Yeah, you know.
And so, like, so the thing is, when you fake tough, you got it becomes fight or flight time. So I'm waiting to see what happens with that before I give my final thought. But so far, realistic inception of Dom the sub.
Yeah, I'm real interested on how this is gonna go because I think Dom is in a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that much, because you have a Damian Priest, you have a Finn Balor, you have a Rhea Ripley pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been killing the Mysterios for a good year.
Yeah.
We can call them lame and everything. It's like, now you're a bad guy, fam?
Right.
You sure? Are you just rebelling against your daddy? Like, yeah. Nah, I would have rather Rey Mysterio not been involved in the heel turn.
Mm.
And you, to me, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
you look at the Edge thing and you like, ooh.
Yeah.
But it's you know what? This is about to fuck this whole shit up.
Okay.
This is Love Don't Cost a Thing, fam.
Hey.
Without the woman you chasing.
Right.
This is Love Don't Cost a Thing. This is me going over to the bad group to show that I'm a bad guy and I'm a cool bad guy and everything.
Mm.
Thank you for getting me over. Now I'm gonna be over here and I'm gonna dish you every chance I get. Mm. But then eventually I'm gonna end up back with you in the end. That's what I think of this right here. It just feels like to me that Rey Mysterio is gonna end up with Dom Mysterio at the end of this anyway.
Yeah.
That's why I wouldn't have done the heel turn the way that it happened, because I'm just gonna be waiting for them to beat up Rey one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, y'all beating on my daddy too much.
Right. Like, yeah.
I would have got him a white guy that could be his Art Barr to Eddie Guerrero.
Mm.
It just did, you know, what I've been talking about for shit basically since WrestleMania.
Right, yeah, I was going to say.
Like, I'm just not feeling the Rey Mysterio, because he don't really hate his daddy.
Right.
Like, if you hate your daddy, you've really got to do something to show us you hate your daddy.
Yeah, not just kicking his friend in the nuts.
Right, right.
And making sure he get hit with a chair.
Yeah, like not just like a random clothesline hit. No, you got to take your daddy mask off.
Mm. Hey, and taking Rey mask off is what turned him heel in the 90s, which is kind of what I want to see anyway.
Right, like, and you know what? He don't even have to, you know, not wear a mask no more. He can still wear his mask. Like, if anything, you know, you hit. So as the mask go off, your hands in your face, and you go, boom, boom. But I know I've watched enough AAA and C-Mill when I was younger to know that the most vulnerable, when that happens, the most vulnerable is basically when they take off your mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Oh, yeah. And to be clear, Rey can wear the mask. I just want to see another Rey Mysterio heel turn. That's all. It was because I honestly think, even though I got lost in the shuffle of everything NWO, it wasn't bad in WCW when they did it. It's just that people do, especially kids, they love Rey Mysterio, so it is hard to turn them heel. I mean, hey, even my daughter requested the Rey Mysterio Funko Pop, that glow in the dark, for her birthday.
Oh.
So, you know what I'm saying? So that's how
it's hard to turn Mighty Mouse heel.
Exactly. So, I do think Rey needs more of an edge. You know what I'm saying? I guess all puns intended there, right?
I mean, but see, to your point, if it's hard to turn the daddy heel, it's hard to turn the son heel. He has to do something dastardly.
Yeah.
The only way this works to me, and I know the WWE don't do this no more.
Mm.
But to me, for me, it's the only way the heel turn works is that he comes in the ring, he jumps his dad, they hold him up, and they say, get the mask. Rhea comes and says, no, they don't even say that. Rhea comes and goes,
mm-hmm.
And then he goes,
bite him on
he
the
smacks
ear.
His dad, and he takes the mask, and Rey falls to the ground, covers his face. And they start whooping his ass while he has no mask on.
Right.
Rey just has to cover his face. And then they come inside the ring and they put a towel on Rey's head over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And Dom is just consistently beating his dad's ass to the point even Judgment Day is going, all right, fam, come on. Done enough, man. Let's go.
Right,
no, I guess. Man, because beating Edge is not just gonna work.
Yeah.
He has to completely get out the shadow. And what better way of getting out the shadow of your daddy than taking your daddy mask off and beating his ass? And then the next time you come to Raw or SmackDown, you have the mask on your hand. Like, look what I took from you.
Question for you, because this made me all think of something as I think of Judgment Day, Edge, and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Do you think that he needs an alternate target to really sell you on that reality?
No.
Okay.
It has to be his daddy. Everything else happens afterwards.
Okay.
But it to make this a truly strong heel turn and to bring maximum heat on Judgment Day, you got to get the mask.
I dig it. My fear, but it's not really a fear because I don't care that much. But my fear is, like, we know at this moment in time, Dominic Mysterio can't beat anybody. Like, he can't beat anybody in this whole storyline. So, to me, it's almost like, damn, do you give him some jobber matches to let him get his shit off? And then, like, kind of build him up? Or do you...
I'm glad that you said that.
Okay.
That's part two.
Okay.
You do that, you beat your daddy ass, your daddy's embarrassed, is ashamed, because we all know that when your mask is taken off, there's a shame that comes with that. In this case, we're not going to see Ray's face, but he's going to feel the shame and embarrassment of his son taking his mask. So we don't see Ray for a bit. And then Ray starts beating jobbers up. He has these matches against the jobbers.
Okay.
Grooming and growing and growing and everything. And then it leads to his daddy coming back. Okay. And his daddy comes back. And now they have the Eddie Guerrero Rey Mysterio match, so to speak.
Okay. I got
you. And I'm not meaning by quality.
Halloween, we knew that.
But if you remember at Halloween Havoc, it was 97, that was a mask match. If Eddie Guerrero would have won, it would have took his mask off.
Yeah.
So then that's how you can use that to say, yo, we have a mask match. Eddie Guerrero, if Rey Mysterio loses, he got to take the mask off. And what humiliating way to get that done by you losing to your son. And then let's keep it a buck. Let's say Rey Mysterio's like, yo, I'm near retirement. He might give his son the rub. It's not like we saw his face before.
Yeah.
He might give his son the ultimate rub of ending my career.
Taking
off the mask.
Yeah, that's true because it hasn't happened in the WWF or E. I don't think even everybody from our era remembers that brief stint of time, that year and a half, 2 years, he didn't have the mask.
But if you watch the biography, the Rey Mysterio episode, or a WWE Legends episode with Rey Mysterio, they didn't blur out his face in WCW shit.
Yeah, no.
No, you watch that. They talk about the taking off of the mask and everything. They show all. We see Oscar's face for it.
Yeah.
So it's you've technically now on WWE TV, we've seen his face.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
So WrestleMania, I think, would be a perfect time to have a Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio match. Through his work with the Judgment Day and beating up jobbers, he should have grown, and his daddy ain't gonna make him look, you know, lame in the ring.
Right, true.
His daddy gonna lead that match. So that's what I would do because this whole beating up the homie shit is just not working.
Yeah.
Everything else is though, but how am I? It still to me leads back to me reuniting with my daddy. And that's what we don't want if you want to keep him. And that it still doesn't make him a monster heel or whatever.
Right.
But it does make him a very credible heel to make some money with.
Gotcha. I got you.
Because I'll even throw this out here. Because I see everybody throwing it out there, mainly because they all Spanish. Say, for instance, he does do that against Rey Mysterio. He takes off his mask and all of that. WrestleMania comes. He defeats his dad and all that. His daddy got to take his mask off for him. It ain't even got to be WrestleMania. It could be Survivor Series or whatever.
Yeah.
That next Monday, you could have Legado de Fantasma come out and really shoot at Dominic because of what he did to his dad, a Mexican legend. So you have a Mexican legend who used to wear a mask come to say, yo, do you know you just disrespected your daddy, who's the greatest of all time? If you're going to be a bitch and do that to your daddy, we ain't going to let that slide. I'm tired of writing for the WWE, fam. I'm tired of writing for the WWE.
You know what I mean? First black champ.
I need a job, fam. I need a job. But I think that's what makes this more interesting, other than, you know, the whole Rhea Ripley being the Dom here to Dom's sub. Because that's essentially what it is. When he whispering is when she's whispering in his ear and basically telling him what to say. As I'm looking at Gigi Dolan's
Aussie Cookie. Oh yeah, hey, I just now finally separated both of them by a twit pick. Jesus.
You saw it, huh?
Man.
The one the baby.
I'm like, man, on that thigh on them. Oh, that thigh on her?
Man.
Cheeked up? RIP Teddy, double cheeked up?
On a Tuesday?
You know what I mean? God damn.
Yeah, famo. Yeah, man. Shouts out to Toxic Attraction.
I get it.
But yeah, man, nah, it has to happen. Mm-hmm. It has to happen that way, and it has to be that for me in order to really secure it.
Yeah.
And I still hope that him and Logan Paul connect in the way, fam. Like, the Logan Paul got it.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of that, and I know the roster is obviously in transition right now, but using more Logan Paul, man, I wouldn't be mad at that at the moment. But, hey, I mean, again, I know that there is a transition that is still in place. And
yeah.
Everything is not where it should be, so understood. Yeah. But
all right, man, let's move on over to some Black Champ shit.
Yeah,
man, it looks like Bobby Lashley has a real credible opponent now.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming up next week on Raw, we're gonna have Bobby Lashley versus Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah, man.
For the United States Championship. I'm interested in your thoughts on this. Because one of the things that you've held on to, you changed my mind on, is that the United States Championship at this point is the World Championship on Raw.
Yes.
Because the way things are set up right now.
Yep.
So now, at least in my opinion, you have the two biggest stars on one brand. Vying for the mid-card, but the world championship, the big gold belt championship, so to speak, for you. What are your thoughts on Seth versus Bobby, and how do you think this feud should go?
Man, so the most interesting part of this for me, if y'all have been listening to the first Black Champ podcast the entire year of 2022, the two guys that I said should be either having or competing for the WWE Championship are Bobby Lashley and Seth freaking Rollins. So this makes perfect sense that the U.S. title is in this mix, because that is the main title for Raw now. The crossroad here is this. Now you got two guys that don't need that damn belt fighting for it, and neither one of them did. And this is the, and if you've noticed just their timelines just of the year, even the last 2 years, both of them are finally in a match where they don't have to put the other guy over. So like, so should they just relinquish this motherfucker and put it in the tournament? Because even though Seth just had a great match, feud, and victory over Riddle, and Bobby Lashley has been taking on all comers, cage matches, and just destructive, stronger than he's ever been in a certain sense as a face. This don't need to happen for either one of them, but at the same time, you don't throw Montez Ford in there. You don't throw Chad Gable in there. And you also don't give them Braun Strowman. Even though I think he's going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, he is.
And also, this ain't the right time for either one of them to face Kevin Owens based on what he's doing right now. Because you got two tweeners in the face that can all be tweener in face or really great heels. So, yeah, man, this is probably... I don't understand how this helps the U.S. title. I don't understand how this helps Bobby Lashley. I don't understand how this helps Seth Rollins. But this is what happens when you don't have the WWE Championship on Monday Night Raw. That's what I got.
First, let me say I love the matchup.
Yeah.
Facts. Like the matchup, I can't wait to see these two go at it in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree 10,000% with everything that you said. They don't need to be fighting over that belt. I get it. Seth, like, yo, I ain't had no gold in a while. So I'm about to go over here. Mm-hmm. I get it. But he should be saying that and going after Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Not go, and Bobby Lashley don't even need that belt.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, LeBron needs that belt.
I'll give you that.
Like, Sheamus needs that belt.
Yeah.
Somebody else needs that shit. Not Bobby Lashley and not Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah.
So it's a catch 22 for me. I want to see them two go at it.
Mm-hmm.
Just not for that damn belt.
Yeah.
Not for the mid-card title. Like, you know, I know you're going to get mad. Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
Or Ciampa over Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins.
In this one instance in life, I'll agree with you. But nothing I would like to see more than old Johnny Wrestling get the belt and then get his head stomped in and then Seth Rollins beat him. See, now I want Seth Rollins to be the U.S. champ. See how it worked?
Like, you know what I'm saying? I think if they did what they did with the vignettes and everything, and just look at what they've done with Gunther or Gunda. Right. Because Gunther, like I said, is a made man, and I have a guaranteed hope for Gunther that I will say after this.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't need those two. You don't need Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling Triple H for the United States Championship at the level that they became.
Right.
Before that, yeah.
Yeah.
At the level they became, hell no. Which leads to my guaranteed. Not even switching gears, but just throwing it out there because I was talking about secondary titles. Mm-hmm. Braun Strowman is going to be the one that defeats Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship.
Mm. You saw that coming too, huh?
Gotcha. Yeah. I saw that as soon as he came and did what he did to the tag team division.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not trying to put him with Roman yet, but they want to make him look strong.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it might come at the forgot what word you might come at. It might be because he's gonna take that shit from Gunther. Yeah. And I hope that's not the case. But I just got a feeling that that shit's going to, at the expense, I just got this a real feeling that that's going to happen. As I'm watching 2.0, shouts out to the introduction of the Super Diva.
Okay.
Quincy.
Oh, really? Just one name, huh?
Well, I don't know if they're going to use one name. I'm waiting to see if a joint come up because I got it on mute. Oh, but he has a full body gear now. Yeah, they got the whole name, the Super Diva Quincy Elliott.
Okay.
So he has like, okay. He doesn't have like a shirt and shorts. He has some shit that Viscera might wear. With an Elvis joint. Okay, he's twerking. He twerked on the pole.
All right.
All right. Like, or Dolph Ziggler. In this case, like an older wrestler, like an older, or I won't say older, but an OG wrestler who's coming in and kind of like helping out, like Dolph Ziggler or Robert Roode.
Yeah, but you know what? As we sit and we talk and I think about this even more, Seth Rollins kind of has to win, right? Because it is more realistic for someone to beat Seth Rollins for the U.S. title right now than to beat Bobby Lashley for anything right now. Like, I don't think you could beat Bobby Lashley for the last piece of chicken at the dinner table right now. I don't think you can beat Bobby Lashley by himself at Family Double Dare. I don't think that, that Bobby Lashley can lose at all just because of the year he's had. Meanwhile, Seth Rollins has made himself just as hot by letting everybody beat him but Riddle and Roman Reigns.
Hey, man, I ain't even going to front, G. I can't wait till you see Quincy Elliott, this version.
I
want to see your reaction. Because my man did I call it the Tiffany Haddish.
The Tiffany Haddish. I call it
the Tiffany Haddish because that's the dance she always doing. But it works. It works. Mm. He's like Viscera and Mabel in one. Even though they're the same wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. But it's no, like, but they does different though.
Right, they different. But yeah, he's like Viscera and Mabel. It's like Vince McMahon told him to watch tapes of Viscera when he was Viscera and Mabel when he was Mabel. Let them know that those are the two same persons. But I want you to mass up those characters. And Triple H saw it was like, well, if Vince said it, go ahead and try it out. But yeah, especially with all of the people that's coming back or reported coming back, I think you have to free those mid cards for those people as long as Roman Reigns has both belts.
Yeah.
Even in the tag team division, like I know we've, like one of our biggest guarantees is that it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos at WrestleMania. But you need to free that up too, because you can put some people together and make them a credible looking tag team. Like you can put some stuff together and make cats like turn cats into Billy and Chuck.
Right.
So I don't like the move because of the belt, but banger after banger after banger from these two are coming. But I do got a question between that. Like, my biggest question from that would be, is this a transitional type shit? Because, like, they ain't waste no time with a title match.
Right.
Like, is Riddle going to cost Seth Rollins the title, even though Riddle just got whooped by Judgment Day? Because it seems like they're trying to split those two apart. But their feud now is just... Oh no, man, it's weird.
Yeah, and you know what? I say no because again, nobody can beat Bobby Lashley, and he's proved that this year. It's literally the it's like the Patriots playing the Lions, right?
Ooh.
But the Lions got Barry Sanders again for the last game of the season. And the Patriots defense just happens to be 24.
Man.
So it's one of those things where I see my thing is you could make the argument that by WrestleMania or Royal Rumble WrestleMania that they would be prepping both of these two to be in the final four with Cody Rhodes and where we're looking at now, Braun Strowman at the Royal Rumble to go for both of the titles. So I'm just in the mindset that this is just, hey, don't say that the U.S. title is bullshit. Look at the kind of matches that Bobby Lashley had all 2022. You know?
That's my point in all of this. Mm. It's going to be interesting to find out what happens, but that's my point in all of this. And it kind of makes them feel like mid-carders to me.
Mm.
It just feels like they are trying to put auto-tune on Whitney Houston.
Mm.
We don't need it, and we don't want it. Just give us Whitney Houston. We don't need that extra stuff. That could be a very credible and amazing rivalry without a belt being involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what's at with that. Speaking of the Bloodline, Solo Siakam finally joins the Bloodline.
Yes, sir.
But Sami Zayn don't seem too cool with that.
Yo, I just want to reiterate again how great of a job Sami Zayn and Jey Uso are doing and all this. Jimmy too, though. I love the good cop, bad cop angle.
Yeah.
I love that Jey Uso hates everybody.
Yes.
I even love that he's even like trying to play tribal chief to the younger brother, Solo. And that's developing. I'm watching Jey Uso, man. I'm watching Jey Uso as this year closes out, because when they do let go of the Raw Tag Team Championships, I want to see his demeanor then. Once the WWE Championship is no longer in, which I was on wrestling Twitter, I kind of believe in some of the shit that I saw today, but I am going to. I'm just watching Jey Uso, man, because I really do. I love his work. I love the work that he's doing right now with all of this. The Bloodline storyline is, and the Bloodline faction is by far from stagnant, far from that. Matter of fact, it's new layers developing, new stories to be told. And, hey, man, they're killing the shit. And you know what? Roman don't need to be on TV every week because they're doing a pretty fantastic job along with the rest of the roster, too. I won't discount them either.
Yeah, Solo makes things interesting. As we talked about, we don't need this to be Demolition.
Right.
We don't need an axe smash and crush here. I do like the Jay being the lieutenant, so to speak, of the Bloodline. Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting tweet from Rikishi. Rikishi, like, basically bring the family. Take the family to work. They go get Jacob. Go get Samu Kid. Go get everybody.
Yeah.
But my next question to you is there going to ever be a point where it's too much from the Bloodline? Like, this? All right, this is enough. Y'all not about to NWO this shit.
I say no, only because all of them won't be Roman and the Usos. It's literally impossible. You're not going to be able to sell us on, okay, can't nobody whoop the whole family? Everybody got a weak cousin that can get knocked out. Everybody got one, you know what I'm saying? Everybody got that one cousin that will fight anybody and everybody, but will
get his ass whooped.
You know what I'm saying?
But he got heart.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think even the aspect of having Solo debut against Drew McIntyre kind of puts it in perspective. It's like, yeah, nah, fam, all of y'all can't whoop everybody ass. So, y'all just strength in numbers.
So to move it, like to add on to the Solo part, mm-hmm. But then as we saw in the match, as we see Landon. As we see Landon playing hide and seek right now. Landon.
He was like, you ain't gonna find me in here. He ain't supposed to be in here.
Right. Go ahead. You too, Liam. No, put that back. That's mine. Bye. Watch Blippi or something.
Yo, you need to start curating the My Three Sons remake.
I'm actually starting the writing today.
There already we go.
Started. I'm already after we're done with tonight, yeah. Is when I'm gonna go back and it's My Three Sons with a little bit of Married with Children in it. Hopefully it's good enough.
There you go.
But we digress.
Yeah.
You go from Solo Siaka wrestling Drew McIntyre in the main event, nonetheless.
Yeah, big.
And then, while that's big, especially when the ratings come out and it's like 2 million people, 2.3. This is the biggest night in a while. You do that, and then you have Karrion Kross with a new screen. Because it was almost – did you see Thor?
No, not Thor? The movie, no.
Okay. The new Thor is – and just to give context what I'm going to say. They end up going to a different world, a different galaxy, a different world. When they enter it, the screen went to black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said this world takes the color out of you. That's what they did with Karrion Kross. Mm-hmm. It's like as soon as he popped up on the screen, he was like black and white or scepter, whatever that color is. It's like playing, WWE. And you change your character's what's the name? Like his screen to the black and white.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, okay, we did this, we brought this guy in, but what are we gonna do with him?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't want to happen to the bloodline.
Mm.
I don't need Scott Norton.
Yeah.
All right. I don't need Scott Norton. I need Hall. Nash, Hogan, Giant, but okay. Not a bitch.
Yeah.
Because they used to hold him.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And they used to hold him.
In real life and on the screen. And I was like, man, that was so disappointing hearing this doc. I was like, oh, you just really just fell for everything being that huge.
Man, basically. So that's what I'm interested in because they could have had him wrestle Drew McIntyre and Drew McIntyre not get attacked mm-hmm. by the dude that he's about to feud with and still has something for Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I'm sitting here like, okay, what is going to happen with Solo? Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't get lost in the shuffle and everything. And then what's happening when your cousin right. is not around, you know, what are we going to do? Like what's good with the street champion?
Right.
That's what I'm afraid of. But I wouldn't mind seeing Jacob Fatu in the WWE uniform. That's when I think things turn different. Because mm-hmm. Jacob Fatu, if you ever seen Jacob Fatu wrestle, he's not going to shuck and jive. He's not going to do none of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's simply there. As even if you saw his contra work at MLW, He's there to whoop your ass. But do you 3-minute warning a situation with Solo Siaka and Jacob Fatu? Like, that stuff that I'm like, man, I know I said that they should sign him and they should bring him back up, but damn what y'all gonna do with him.
Yeah. So what would be dope, right, as I think about this all, and again, I'm watching Jey Uso. I would love for Jey Uso to be the guy to work double duty. Meaning this, let's say him and Jimmy keep the SmackDown championships somehow, one way or another. The Raw tag title end up on a Raw again. But I would love to see Jey Uso be the guy over Solo, over Jacob. Oh, it's like, hey, look, Tribal Chief ain't got time for y'all, but it's on me. I got to make shit happen. And then the storyline is literally just like you were saying, the Chief is now, you know what I'm saying, the Chief is the Chief, and now you got to report real gangland shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, look, you know, Jay is the lieutenant. Jay is the colonel. Jay is the, you know what I'm saying? He's just second in command. And like, while I'm gone, he run the show. So he making the appearances on Raw and on SmackDown, keeping people in line, getting people beat up. and the thing is, you still maintain the credibility of the bloodline because, hey, the origin of all of this is Jay felt that he could be the head of the table too.
Yep.
That's how this all started 2 years ago. So what better way to bring it full circle is like, hey, look, 2 years ago, you tried to take this from me. Now I got shit to do. So now it's on you. What? Come on. You run the table till I get back. What you gonna do with the tables? And that, I think, leaves enough room for all of them to compete, whether it's for tag team titles or mid-card titles. WWE Championship might still be in that mix, whatever they decide to do with that. So yeah. I think it's now just to build layers. Obviously, Roman will be Roman, and I think that's still great. But now there's some identity that needs to be happening throughout it. Because to your point on the NWO shit, nobody wants to be Stevie Ray and Virgil. And Scott Steiner carved his way out, but then there was Horace. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it could go bad to the point where it's like, damn, fam, maybe I should just be in NXT till y'all get this situated.
So we're going to move on. Because, see, that's what I'm afraid. You just hit on everything that I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. I don't need nobody coming up here being Horace. I don't need nobody up here coming up here being Scott Norton. Yeah. I don't need Japanese NWO.
Right, right.
I don't need none of that. And that's what makes me worry.
I got you.
I don't need extra, extra, extra bloodline, like looking at wrestling Twitter. Oh man, when we go, I mean, I think the way we brought in Tamina and Naomi was cool, but now with Solo, I don't need Naomi or Tamina or both.
Right, and that's why I was saying that's why the women should be next.
Yeah, it's like we don't need that no more, because then what is gonna look like? Is that all of Samoan people are going to be kicking it over here.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work. It's not going to work unless it's WrestleMania, it's Rock versus Roman, it's a battle of the family, y'all will split, somebody wins, they make the family whole. and still is only going to work for like 2 weeks. Because I don't think that the demographic, white males, 18 to 34,
important,
are trying to see the Samoan dynasty. Some are,
yeah,
but not in full.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we were there for SummerSlam, and we've seen some white ones up, but, you know, the crowd really wanted Brock Lesnar to win that match. It was like, hey, he won, you know, but had Brock Lesnar, you know what, living in Nashville, Tennessee, I think that the whole entire city might have went dry of bourbon had Brock Lesnar won that title that night.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Brock Lesnar is your uncrowned champion, according to Nashville, Tennessee.
Facts.
First of all, speaking of Brock Lesnar, Gabe Steveson, we all know, University of Minnesota star wrestler, two-time, I believe, champion. He signed with the WWE. They got him hooked up with a school and everything that he's going to be learning the tricks of the trade and everything. But Dave Meltzer said some things on Sunday night's main event on TSN that raised my eyebrow a little bit. As I do the and it's time to change the center, rearrange Peter Brady joint. I'm reading these quotes from him. Okay. That he was going to be the new Brock Lesnar, and they were going to send coaches to Minnesota to get a place in Minnesota during the wrestling season. They were going to have him train as a pro wrestler, which was probably wasn't a good idea at the same time, to do both at the same time. Dave Meltzer also said that WWE canceled plans for Gabe Steveson to make his debut at WrestleMania 38. So he was not far off.
Right.
And saying that that's a possible spot to debut.
Right.
He added that Steveson was supposed to become a big deal on the WWE roster right now. Dave Meltzer says he hasn't debuted and they wanted him to debut at WrestleMania. It didn't happen. He was supposed to be fast-tracked to main events now. Like come right out of college, win the NCAAs, which he did, and then go right into WWE top level, and that didn't happen.
Mm.
Brock Lesnar was also high on him. Brock Lesnar visited the University of Minnesota campus. See what's going on. And, of course, he's a star there.
Right.
These are just reports.
Right.
Apparently, he's supposed to be training with Mr. Kennedy, Ken Anderson.
Hey, shout out to him for being back and sober and helping out.
Right.
The only person from Green Bay that I actually have love for.
Yeah, but my question to you is, considering the hype that he all got, that he always got, would you drop him in NXT? Would he feel a type of way based off of what we hear? Do you think he would feel a type of way when he was supposed to be fast tracked through the WWE, given the Kurt Angle move probably? But it's not translating well.
Right. Okay, so he definitely would feel a way. And I'm going to say that he has a right to feel a way based on the measuring stick for him. However, as you're reading that and you're going over that and I'm thinking about it, and even though I know what happened earlier in the year, this seems like the perfect angle for Chad Gable to really get his Alpha Academy shit off, because they made Otis different under his tutelage, and literally he could become Chad's Shelton Benjamin in this situation, you know. I think because, I mean, shit, the Alpha Academy is one person short of Team Angle. They just look different. They won't be as successful. But it would be a great move for the Gabe Steveson young guy to come in amongst them and really get his shit off while they fill in the sports entertainment holes. Because that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. If whenever they're trying to fast track you to a main event, they're hoping that you have the entertainment piece down, and he doesn't. I'm saying this without knowing nothing or nobody. There is nothing wrong with the way Gabe Steveson wrestles. There's nothing wrong with the way he slams, suplexes, and does moves and all of that. They're trying to get him to like, hey, no, this camera, bro, this one. Or, hey, slow down because ain't no gold medal on the line. Or, hey, you don't have to win the trophy here. This is just about selling the moment to your opponent. And so with that, I think give everybody a rub in this situation. Maybe even making Otis and Gabe a tag team for a minute.
I actually got your perfect tag team partner for Gabe.
You know what I'm saying?
It's his brother.
What's up?
It's his brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, that's what's interesting because, you know, seeing his brother cost the Creed brothers the title. And my whole thought was, damn, Dave been making moves, but not Gabe? Because when he signed, it was almost to not only just the afterthought, but man, he might have signed because, you know, his brother signed. Mm-hmm. So he said he'd come as a package deal. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Gabe is not advanced, but Damon is. And they're both high-level wrestlers.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting that Damon is the one that is on the move up the card and not necessarily him. But I would love to see Gabe cut his teeth, go down to NXT and do his thing. Hell, I love to see him and his brother. Hell, I hate what I'm about to say based off of prior history. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, a Paul Heyman or Jim Cornette does wonders with a team like these two wrestling dudes that's just going to whoop your ass. So maybe finding a manager like a situation like them.
I mean, hey man, this is the trick bag and the wild card in the Uno deck that is sports entertainment, though, right? Because hell, look, we watched wrestling since the 80s. We know that the best athlete, the strongest person, or the meanest person is not necessarily the best wrestler,
right?
And that's not necessarily what gets you over. And you know, with the legend of Kurt Angle being like, yo, he came in here and he picked this shit up so quick, we had to put him on TV. And then you have Brock Lesnar that comes in kind of with the same story. So people are now expecting, oh, we got a gold medalist. We got a collegiate champion. Oh, well, shit. We could just throw them on Raw. We could just throw them on SmackDown. We could throw them at WrestleMania. It's going to go up. And now we're seeing, nah, because 20 years later, and Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar are in top fives ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't Ken Patera. You know, this ain't, this ain't Shelton Benjamin. This ain't Charlie Haas. This ain't Dolph Ziggler. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, hey, we know these guys have had success at real amateur wrestling and what have you. And it's not to say that they're bad, but they're not in that 1%. They're not in the elite. You know what I mean? And it's not reserved for everybody. Skill-wise, I get it. But, I mean, hey, look, when I seen Gabe Steveson, I was like, oh, that's what they picking? That's what they picking? For, like, what makes me think that he's better than the guys already at NXT or just – like, again, Montez Ford, Carmelo Hayes, at the time, Adam Cole. Like, he wasn't above those three to me, and they hadn't got where they needed to be yet.
Yeah. Yeah, this is gonna be interesting, man. But it seems like they're still trying to help out, homie. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes you got to throw people to the wolves. It worked for Mark Henry.
True. No disrespect to Mark Henry. Mark Henry ain't in a lot of top threes or fives.
You are damn right on that one. All right, man. That's really about it that happened this week.
Yeah.
That we care about. I got a couple of quick joints before we do Garen Damsey's Joe.
Okay.
Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory. Kevin Owens with a dope ass promo on Monday. That shit was Kevin Owens on the mic is in rare form, and he definitely shitted on Austin Theory and body types. So it seems like Vince called it straight too. But I do got a question, man. Does Austin Theory need that? Can Austin Theory lose that to, let's say, Kevin Owens?
He could, but I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. I want Austin Theory to cash in and lose it, just like Kennedy did, like Cena did, like Baron Corbin did. If that's the move. Because never have I ever in the history of Money in the Bank seen so many people boo every time his music hits and he comes down there with that briefcase. Like, you want to talk about bad booking? you want to talk about bad business? That appears to be the worst business move to make, at least for the year 2022, because even when guys are not fan favorites, when they have the Money in the Bank and they come out, there is an element of, oh shit, like even when The Miz did it, like don't get me wrong, people weren't happy, but their displeasure wasn't this. Wasn't A-Town. It's like, whoa, fam.
They don't even get to the town. They just get to the A, boo.
It's like, yo. Like, this ain't gonna work.
The other interesting part about that promo, though, like, re-listening to it, is Kevin Owens tried to play Austin Theory like Austin Theory wasn't an indie guy. He really stuck to body types, and the reason why people like you are here is because of body types. But Austin Theory was killing it in Evolve, which made me say, yo, this might be the future of the WWE. But you're right. Yeah. It's because of his body size. And sometimes I think.
Right.
It's a couple of things here. The biggest one is aligning yourself with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon could be the death knell of your career. He aligned with Vince McMahon at the wrong goddamn time, too.
Yeah, man. Talk about drawing the shortest straw, man.
Yeah, like, at first we was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. But then we found out Vince McMahon was on this perverse shit. Yeah. And it was like, it's almost like Theory is the punching bag for Vince McMahon haters. You have to get that briefcase from off of him. You have to switch it up with him a little bit and let KO rock. And he, the one is to cash on to Roman Reigns. Because I was watching AEW the other day, last week. And this was the after CM Punk, all this shit and everything. And John Moxley came and said an impassioned speech. He's supposed to be on vacation, but he's back. You know, he's really showing that, you know, he wants the ball and run with it. And I was like, okay, you shouldn't have to ask for the ball, you're John Moxley.
There's that.
But anyway. I look at what Roman doing. I'm looking at what Seth were doing. But as always, I try to look at, you know, people who could come next. And we've been having this conversation about AEW all the time. Vince McMahon says, I have the perfect candidate. It's Austin Theory. He has all the tools. And he's a muscular guy, like I like him. That, my friends, will get you future endeavor, I think, in his ear. I really think that if AEW could win with a guy like Theory, when HR comes back with their findings and saying that there was a lot of stuff going on, so we need y'all to switch things up. We need y'all TV product to look similar to WWE's. Because like people like Gabe Stevenson and Austin Theory and all of those people, if this was 1997, they'd probably be world champions by now. That's not going to happen right now.
Yeah, no. Nah.
So it's going to be interesting because it's almost like you have to give Austin Theory the Rock treatment. And what I mean by that, he started off as a face, turned heel, because they was killing him as a face. And then they want to kill him as a heel, but in a good way. And then they come back with the face stuff. You have to switch it up with Austin Theory to make people care. You can't just go, yo, we hear people reacting, so that's good enough for us. That's my thought on that.
Okay.
Because with this Gabe Stevenson stuff, you can't tell me that they wouldn't just throw him to the wolves like the wolves, like they've done everybody else. We changing that with Gabe now?
I think they're only changing it for him though, because Gabe ain't really of sports entertainment. I think if his story was he was from a TNA or an Evolve or even AEW, there's like, okay, well, we know you can handle this. You know how to bounce back. This is the breaks, kid, whatever. But you know, if this was 91, he'd be on a Wheaties box. So you can't really just be like, you can't necessarily throw him to the wolves because your casual fan interest, your dates to Pittsburgh and Chattanooga and fucking Minnesota, like those other like heavy sports town, collegiate high school sports towns where he's probably going to be like a hero. You kind of jack that up. And also because, you know, you have the, you know, wrestling's not real, right? Crowd, you know what I'm saying? You have them. So now you can't get the guy that could potentially really beat up the roster and throw him to the wolves to get to lose at sports entertainment when he's really better at the sports part than a lot of them. So that's how I view guys like that. To me, they threw Logan Paul to the wolves and look what happened. But the thing is, hey, I've been saying it. He's not some just regular white boy from Ohio. He's obviously athletic. Oh, yeah. He's founded and made to make himself a multimillionaire on YouTube. So he already has sports and entertainment down.
Yeah.
Gabe Stevenson, not so much. And again, just for the people that really know what's up with him, you can't throw him to the wolves. You can throw it to the guys that know about wrestling, like, you know what I'm saying? Like anybody that's really of this, you can do that to them. Not your Olympic and collegiate stars.
I got you. It's going to be interesting, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now we are in a situation where now, apparently, the world knows that you might not be moving around like you could, or what they want, and all of those things. So, it's going to be a bit interesting
moving forward. For sure.
All right, man, you got any guarantees?
Yeah, you know what? I was sitting on one, but I didn't really like it. It felt kind of hollow, so I'm just going to play off the last topic. My guarantee this week is that Austin Theory cashes in his money in the bank in one of the next two or three Roman matches, whichever one it is. And this time, they let him cash in, and Solo and Jay and Jimmy and Sammy and Roman just start beating his ass. Because the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, once the bell rings, if he win by DQ, he don't win the belt. if he win by count out, he don't win the belt. The Money in the Bank rules are still pin or submission based. What better way, I feel, to set up everybody in this? It's like, okay, we've already warned you about what was going to happen to your ass if you thought about cashing in on me. And it was just three of us then. Now it's five. We beating your ass. Because this is how you get it. Because you don't get it. And they going to tee off on Austin Theory while the crowd goes crazy. And they just going to walk out with his briefcase. And now he has to rebound and regroup and think of something else to get back to the top of the ladder. Because now in one gear, he's lost his United States Championship. He's lost his Money in the Bank contract. And he lost his daddy all in the same year.
Yeah.
So now he got to regroup. And he's hoping that's going to be the Royal Rumble where he ends up in the final four. With Austin, Cody, Seth, Bobby. That's my final four for the Royal Rumble right now, based on my guarantee.
I have a guarantee hope.
All right.
Don't laugh at this guarantee hope.
All right. Hey, I'm trying not to.
Because on, what was it, last week's episode, when Baron Corbin took another L.
Yeah.
He got pulled up on with a limo with some horns on there. My guarantee hope is that the cabinet is back.
Hey. I was hoping we talk about this.
The cabinet is a very underrated faction in the WWE history for me.
Yeah.
When I saw that limo with the horns pulled up, I was like, what JBL about to do?
Yeah, man.
I hope that we get a semi-repackaged Baron Corbin and we get a cabinet back. I think Baron Corbin has now become the most underrated wrestler in the WWE right now.
Okay.
Baron Corbin is the one wrestler who always gets a reaction.
Yeah, true.
Good or bad, happy or sad. He got money, and everybody started missing bum-ass Corbin when they wasn't really feeling bum-ass Corbin for him. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, it was like, no, we need him back. Every version of Baron Corbin has been radioactive, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to get a reaction. I think with Baron Corbin as JBL's apprentice, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
JBL leading it, I think this would be gold for him.
Okay.
Maybe find a couple of folks from NXT to help watch his back. One or two.
I was going to say, hey, this is speaking right to Ross' question. Who would you put in it?
Oh, shit. I just noticed that. Because I was looking at another black dude is about to debut.
Okay.
From NXT UK.
Black wrestling. Oh, we got black UK wrestlers? I'll fuck with him.
Oro Mensa. He starts next week.
Is that Vic Mensa?
Oro.
Oh, Oro Mensa.
Yeah.
Black Brits, I'm with it. Shout out to Idris Elba.
Right. Man, you know what? Because I see him on the screen right now. Grayson Waller would be one.
Hey, you know what? And with all this, I would love to see Drew Gulak as a part of this.
Drew Gulak could be the money guy, the note taker.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're so far removed from it now.
The analyst
guy. But if Donald Trump was a wrestler, he would have been JBL, just from Texas and not New York.
Yeah.
Especially when he was chasing Mexicans across the border. Drew Gulak, who had, I think, one of the best characters during the whole Trump administration when he was the Republican that was reading off the cards, off the no cards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was an incredible angle that they just didn't use correctly. Yeah, man, them with Corbin, and obviously just because of the time we're in,
he hit it right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Cameron Grimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm with it.
There you go. Then be your four right there.
You know what I'm saying? And even Jimmy, though, you know what? The only person that has the right gimmick but is the wrong person, Carmella. The Mella's money shit. Like, but I don't know. Maybe she takes on a different kind of character. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe they just add Zelina, even though she is of a Latin descent. Yo, what you just see?
this new dude that's on NXT,
mm-hmm.
He was talking to some wavy. Yeah. Okay. I don't know who that was, though.
Oh, Twitter gonna tell us.
Man.
Twitter gonna tell us.
Yo, yeah, they need to tell us real quick. Because, man, oh, man. you see how I stopped?
Yeah. I thought something happened. Hey, Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose. Not a bad pick. And Mandy Rose is big enough of a star to keep a different element, but not wouldn't overpower Baron Corbin's star and all of that too. I'm not mad at that.
Nah, I disagree with a bit. I disagree with a bit.
Okay.
Only because Toxic Attraction.
Well, yeah. Obviously, that is the better situation for them. But, you know, I think all of the women that would make the most sense. Oh, well.
You know what?
Well, no. Lacey Evans needs something to do. Lacey Evans needs something to do.
I was about to say it's only two women. One is Lacey Evans. The other one is Shorty that's with the Maximum Male Models.
Oh, yeah. But no, she about to be the young thotty for Hit Row, so we can't do that yet. You know what I'm saying?
She's about
to be the Hit Row groupie.
Choo-choo. She's about to be the hero runner. But nah, Lacey Evans, G. Lacey Evans would be, she would be perfect.
Yeah.
She would be perfect on that. But nah, I hope the cabinet comes back, G.
Yeah.
And we get that. Now I got to do some investigation.
Yeah, man. Corbin, Grimes, Evans. Shit, that's just a good start. And Waller. Yeah. That would be hard, actually. That would be hard. Too bad they broke up Madcap from this, because he needs something other than the black tights gimmick, the creator player 3 gimmick that they got his ass doing.
Bro, he got to get a logo on his drawers or
something. Right. Like, man, you need a logo.
Hey, man, he got to get a logo on his drawers, G. He's out here. He out here just looking like creator player 1. My man just out here. My man just out here with tape boots, and drawers.
Yeah, man.
And they ain't even the drawers.
Yeah, no.
Shorts drawers.
Yeah. He got on like Spanx.
Right.
He got on, like, I was like, yo, man, if you get your default ass
right
out of here.
Basically, like, like y'all wilding out here. Mm. Y'all are wilding out here for having this man that, like, just get the RM or the MM on his ass. Pause. Like, like, nah, and no, man. East, have you seen EC3 lately?
Yeah, didn't he just sign with
Nah, he ain't signed with shit. He do the shit with NWA.
Okay.
But he's doing the Control Your Narrative shit. Braun Strowman, left. So, you know, he sent out the press release or whatever. But EC3 is out here swole with a belly, fam.
You got you know what? Just when I thought it was over for Braun Strowman, I want to say this real quick before we dug off out of here. Braun Strowman Danner did the exact same thing at that indie show, and that crowd didn't give a fuck. But hey, you throw it back to WWE. Hey, that is knowing your audience. Man. Like, I totally get his logic made so much sense, because when they was like, he charged $20,000 for an autograph sign, and I was like, no disrespect to homie, but I don't see anybody paying that for him with him without the logo, without the league logo next to his name. And sure enough, man, like, yo, man, that crowd was dead. Even the dude holding the camera, he's like, yo, is that Braun Strowman? I'm like, damn. Oh, damn, you don't give a fuck either, do you? No. That crowd sat down like, damn. And he did the same pose and everything. But, like, nah. But as soon, Braun Strowman needs a Michael Cole, man. And
now say it again.
Braun Strowman needs a Michael Cole, because, buddy, it looks bad for him anywhere else officially. Like, he got to make this work.
Look, man, I'm going to say this now. It is very it's not underrated. It's just not discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that an announcer will make you or break you.
Facts.
That's why certain people want certain people announcing their matches.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is very important to give Michael Cole his flowers right now.
Yes, indeed.
Because I'll tell you this, and I'll end it. The MVP of post Vince McMahon WWE is not a wrestler. Post WWE MVP is Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cole be talking that shit right now.
Yeah.
He be giving you knowledge. He tell you some shit that happened in another federation.
Yeah.
With the regular with the names you know them by.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable up in that seat, G.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making everything sound 0 to 60 real quick.
Yeah.
So as the match started, room.
Yeah.
With Pat McAfee being gone to do college football on ESPN, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
I don't need to overexpose Corey Graves.
Yeah.
That's why CM Punk needs to just come back to the WWE and be an announcer.
Hey, but look, the day that he said was going to ruin the WWE is happening. Technically, he can't come back, because that means he was wrong as fuck. He can't, because look, hey, the idiot son-in-law and the daughter are running the company. Hey, and you at the crib and your foot hurt.
Amongst other things.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Unfortunately, CM Punk has dug himself into an obvious grave. And, yeah, man, he just got to lie there at this point. You know?
At this point.
And we ain't saying it because he broke and he need the money. We not saying it because... because of the quality of wrestling, or his mind isn't sharp enough for today's federation. Is like, no, go back to the pipe bomb. He said that this day would happen and this would be the end of the WWE, and so far he wrong as fuck. So he just can't come back that easily. He was like, hey, no, fam. Remember that bullshit you was talking in 2013?
And Ross, no, we did not. Because I think it's a non-story.
Yeah. Them punks ain't going nowhere, man.
I think it's a non-story. And here's why I think it's a non-story. It proves the point that Kemp has been saying. Now, I'll just say it for Kemp. And this is how I'll end the pod. I'm about to get Kemp his flowers.
Thank you.
Because he's been saying this. He has been, I've been implying it. He has been saying it. There's not one person alive that does not want to come to the WWE. Mm-hmm. At least once. Fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say you've been there.
Right.
Sometimes when you hit a girl, you hit a girl just to say you hit. Not necessarily for anything else.
Yeah.
When you drink something, sometimes you just drink something to say you drunk it.
Yeah. I tried Tangeray before. It's terrible.
You get on the plane, you want to go somewhere, you just want to say it because you want to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the WWE is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of that in one. Then my wife's looking at me like, you just do it because you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to experience it. Yeah, sometimes you just hit a girl just to say you hit. Like, all right. Yeah. Not now.
No,
but in the past. In the past, I was like, man. Let me just knock it down. I was always past tense. Everybody know I'm married on this pod.
Yeah.
You've been on both pods today. You know that, right? Yeah, get that shit. All right.
Escalating quickly over there in the Davis household.
Right, that's why we got three kids. Look, man, you want to do these things just because, like, you have to reach certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the WWE is.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega been sending fillers out. He did that shit when he was in Japan. That's why he almost ended up there.
Yeah.
You can talk all this. I'll never go over there all you want to. You're going to never get that money either.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the Young Bucks are perfect for the WWE. They're perfect for the WWE. Just for the clothes that they wear, they perfect for the WWE. They can still be low-rate rockers. They perfect for the WWE. Especially in Triple H's WWE. That's the important part here.
Okay.
In Triple H's WWE, they are perfect. In Triple H's WWE, Kenny Omega is perfect. All that shit going down in the company that they helped start it. Oh, man. Where the fuck else you going to go?
Yeah. Yeah. What else can the Sweet Valley Rockers do? Huh? You know what I'm saying?
What else you gonna do? Look, it's the biggest. It ain't the only game in town no more,
right?
But it's the biggest game in town. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you get pushed out? The other one, you gonna go to Impact? You don't send fillers to Impact. You just go. Mm-hmm. Who's going to send a fill out, man? I wonder if Impact can take me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You just go to Nashville and be like, yo, shit, we free agents now.
It's like, hey, yo, we up here on Broadway, but hey, we can pull up.
Yeah. But the WWE part, you send fillers out because you've been shitting on them. You've been talking about somehow you better and all of that. Now, when things ain't going right, it's like, hey, hey, yo, fam. Yeah. Hey, man, I'll let Triple H just to see like how I look out there for us. Now, you sitting ringside like you Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, and Chris Benoit and Saturn.
Radicals.
Yeah, now y'all the radicals. Now y'all changed the course of wrestling. Now y'all want to come to the WWE. And guess who's going to make y'all sound bigger than life? The WWE going to put you over as former AEW talent more than you was putting yourself over as AEW talent.
Here we go.
This is not even me being the WWE homer. This is me knowing marketing and promotion.
Absolutely.
And where the numbers lie.
Yeah.
Y'all talked all that. We'll never go over there. And Tony Khan started that shit and CM Punk talked that shit and they still hit y'all ass in the face with a chair. And now it's, hey.
Mm-hmm.
You find out.
Like, yeah, no, I'm willing to take a demotion. Yeah.
Hey, we could lose for the first 6 months. It's cool. We just want to slide.
Yeah, man.
Like, come on, man. Like, even though me and my wife were joking around, let's bring it to a girl. When you nervous, you don't really know if she want to fuck with you or not. But you're trying to get down. And she might be a little bit over what you think you should be getting. You'll put that fill out.
Hey,
holla at your girl, see what she's talking about. Holla at your girl, see what she's talking about. No, just holla at her. And I know she fucking with dude over there. Just holla at her, see what she's talking about. And then if we all go out for drinks, I got the rest of it. That's the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They basically just told Cody to tell them, hey, man, let's just go out for drinks and we'll see what's up. And I'll take care of the rest. And then when you go there, we all find out it's the girl that you've been shitting on, calling her fat and lumpy and all of those things. Now you at the bar like, hey, I'm not just fucking with you, right?
Oh, no.
Nah, just fucking with you, right? I think you cute. I think you cute. You want another drink? That's the Young Bucks in the WWE.
I mean,
that's it. That's all.
I mean, hey, listen, man. The Sweet Valley Rockers, they've dug themselves into a little hole, too. Because, look, Triple H runs shit now. And one thing about Vince McMahon that was always said is that he can be very forgiving. But that's because Vince McMahon, he been up a long time. He been 100 million up a long time. He been a billion up a long time. He was like, you just talking that shit because you broke. Just like Cameron said. Cameron said the realest shit on $1 million worth of game. Said, niggas ain't tough. They broke. He's like, no, you're not really tough. You just broke. If you got some money, you wouldn't act like this. I was like, oh, shit. Wow. that was Confucius level, like, hindsight there. Like, God, dog. Like, yo, I'm sorry, giving people $20.
Man.
just to see what your problem is. Hey, here, $20. You still mad, bitch? You know what I mean? But I say that to say, like, you know, I don't think Triple H is on the same type of time that Vince McMahon was on. Even though I do think you are right in the aspect of sports entertainment and what they would provide, there is a place for them in the WWE. However, we can never forget, and I'm gonna single-handedly tap Triple H for this. Triple H made the point to sign all their friends and issue them a cease and desist.
I'm about to pull this up. That is true. I'm about to pull this up, fam.
You know what I mean? Adam Cole, Finn Balor, Kevin, that was Kevin Steen.
I think this is important right here.
Yeah.
I think this sums it up. This sums it up. And we're going to end the pie here. Because I think this really sums it up. It's one of my favorite scenes in music history. movie history. It's a very important scene, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever seen the movie King of New York?
Yeah.
See, Christopher Walken, Frank White, and his chick was on the train. Mm-hmm. He was freaking out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Then this man right here, Hal Perrineau, you know, who ended up on Oz in the wheelchair and on Lost and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Him and his merry band of men, I will call Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Yeah.
Whoa. Come by the Plaza Hotel. I got work for you. As for Frank,
you want. You know what I'm saying?
Meet me at the Plaza Hotel. I might give you a job.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what That's what that is right there.
Absolutely.
They thought they was going to run up on my man and rob him while he with his chick. He pulled out his gun and didn't even use it. He gave them a knot and said, come see me at the Plaza Hotel. I asked for Frank Wright.
You know what I'm saying?
Triple H. is slowly becoming Frank White.
Yeah.
And everybody who talked all that shit about not wanting to be with the WWE no more is them three.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This is why I have never been one to diss somebody else because I'm over here. Because I might need that person over there. Daniel Bryan is the one who's played his position the best.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jericho don't need to go back to the WWE.
Right.
John Moxley really don't need to go back to the WWE. Daniel Bryan has kept his relationship strong with everybody because I just want to wrestle. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks did all that anti-WWE stuff, but on the low was like, I think I need to go to the Plaza Hotel. Kent, the floor is yours.
There it is. Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you again for checking out our program. We sincerely appreciate you. Likes, comments, shares, tags, links, commentary, questions, all of it. Greatly appreciated. Obviously, Bang and I can do this show without you, but we want you to know firsthand that you make it that much more enjoyable. And even 5 years and some change later, man, we still enjoy bringing y'all this wrestling content like nobody else in the world. So please remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Champ. Bang. We are out.